You're listening to ESPN 100.3 FM, KLRZ, La Rose, New Orleans, and the River Region.
It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Hello, sports fans.
Well, hello there.
Local sports, national sports. The GCAT has got you covered.
Oh, you made a wise choice, my friend.
Time to tee it up and let it fly. It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Check it out, John.
You know the only problem with talking about roast beasts, mofaladas,
I already know where you're going with this. Yes.
I'm hungry.
I'm hungry now.
Oh, my. Jordan, Joey Goosey. It is hour number three of the Sports Hangover, less than an hour away before the Pelicans officially introduce Derek Favors, Josh Hart, Brandon Ingram, and Lonzo Ball. And you're all excited.
I want you to pull up.
What do you want to pull up?
Go up on Twitter. Go to the Pelicans Twitter page.
Pelicans Twitter page?
Yes.
What we got?
We have Lonzo Ball speaking to the people of New Orleans.
Oh, he's got a message.
Yeah.
Message for the people of New Orleans. Okay. Let's see what we got here. Let's pull it up.
What's up, New Orleans? Your boy Lonzo Ball here. Touchdown. And my new thread's feeling good, looking good. Can't wait to get started. Happy to be here.
There it is, Jordan.
He's got his new threads. You know what that is?
Yes, it's clothes. It's his uniform.
All right, just making sure you know. Keeping up with the times.
You can check it out. Pelicans.com, 3 o'clock, if you want to listen to it. We'll have, obviously, some sound for tomorrow.
Try.
Do you know what threads is? Come on, man. I'm down. That make me hip?
No.
No?
Just that. Just asking if that makes you hip is not hip.
No?
No. I don't even know who says hip anymore.
I mean, I got street cred. Is that the cred that you want? Just asking. What other cred would you want?
I don't know.
I mean, I got office cred.
You're the wrong person to ask.
On-air cred? Office cred? Gym cred?
I don't think you have gym
cred. Is it all on the same line with street cred?
I will give you radio cred.
One day I would like to have bank cred. In other words, my bank account's pretty high.
Yeah. I'll give you talk cred.
Talk cred?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's a compliment.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. I'll give you intern cred. Are we just making up all the creds? We need Brian. I ain't official. What kind of creds are there available? And where is it ranked next to street cred?
I think if you just put any cred.
Lonzo Ball. It's a nice little message, don't you think?
Yeah.
What's up, New Orleans? Your boy Lonzo Ball here. Touchdown. And my new thread's feeling good, looking good. Can't wait to get started. Happy to be here.
Very L.A. Remember, look, it's just going to be a little influx of a very – it's going to be a little younger demographic here.
Hey, Lonzo, you better get ready for that hustle and bustle.
Oh, boy.
Because, you know, New Orleans isn't, you know, the big easiest place, according to Anthony Davis.
Brian is, like, literally almost – he's going to drive off the road right now if he's listening. Were you trying to go Lonzo now? Were you trying to?
No.
Because you sounded like you were trying to talk a little different.
No, it wasn't.
Okay. We're not.
You're the one that talks all Irish.
That was Jamaican.
Jamaican. That's right. Jamaican. Say, don't give me grief.
I was going to introduce Lonzo Ball in my Jamaican accent.
Please don't.
I thought better of it.
Yes.
I thought better of it. 800-998-1003. We've thrown a couple of topics on the board that you can chime in. Jordan's going to be here another 15 minutes or so, and then we will have him exit stage left here. Bottom of the hour, Brody Miller. Now The Athletic joins Catherine Terrell, Jeff Duncan, Sir Lawrence of the Holder, Will Guillory, and Deuce Windham. The Athletic getting a little bit bigger. Those new guys officially being introduced today as part of the staff there. Brody going to be covering the Tigers. So we'll talk a little LSU SEC Media Day. So we're having a little fun with Joe Burrow saying, hey, look, Louisiana's food better than Ohio food. And he said Louisiana does one particular thing better than anything. And he never said what it was, though. So we're speculating, right? Like, what is it? And you said it's probably seafood. And you narrowed it down to boiled seafood,
crawfish
and stuff. I said, okay, I'm going to go a little different direction because most people probably would say seafood. And I said, give me the roast beef sandwich, the roast beef po' boy.
Yeah, hot. That is very
dripping.
Yes.
You know, And then you add the cheesy gravy fries that go with it, and then it's just, I mean, yeah.
Don't ever make that sound.
No, that's the Homer Simpson tongue, you know, out the mouth. Food coma. And we all have different favorites. See, I think with something like that, they're really in the fit. There's, hey, you know what? What part of town I'm in, I'm sure I could find a decent one. But yeah, you probably have a top three. There's competitions every year for the best roast beef. And what makes a good roast beef? Jeff from Tracy's is chiming in. He said, you know, it's interesting. I didn't think about it. The bread. The bread, he says, is important. Gravy. Got to have the right saltiness to it. A little garlicky in there. Got to have that. See, now I do like more towards the end of the roast beef being like debris-ish.
So do you like...
I do not like sliced. And there's some. There's a place by my house. I get it often. Well, they do a nice hot roast beef with a lot of gravy, but it's more sliced.
I don't like that.
I like the...
Reminds me too much
the
of a
more
sandwich.
Debris. And then there's one down the street on Airline that it's just basically chopped up. It's debris, you know?
So, all right, back to the whole bread topic.
Yeah.
Do you like your bread, like, very toasted to where it's like you bite into it and there's little crumbs everywhere?
Ooh, I see what you're saying.
Because I hate
it's,
that.
It's got to be less than a crouton.
Because I've had some that are like crouton, like a
right,
little,
that's
a
what
step,
I'm saying.
A barely a step below crouton.
Right, right. No. The best is, it's the nice fluffy yet airy yet crunchy that can sop up the gravy at the same time and not disintegrate on you. And at the same time, you can't have bread where it's rubber. You know what I'm talking about? Yeah. Where you have to you bite into it.
You have to kind of grind your teeth.
Yeah, it's like a scene out of Shark Week. You're just gnawing your teeth and you're going left or right with your head to
or
try
you have to
try
you
to,
have to pull
yes,
it out.
Yes, you should never have to pull the bread. This is what I'm saying. This is science to this. That's what I'm getting at. I don't know many places. I'm telling you, in the American Conference, when I travel doing Tulane stuff, it's Philly, it's New York. I mean, it's, you know, Tampa, it's Orlando, it's Dallas, it's Houston. I mean, it's some major cities. You know, I don't recall. Now, I know in Houston, I've traveled there a ton, that you do have a lot of transplants. So you do have a lot of people from Louisiana over there. And so you can find
so
some restaurants
are going. Yeah.
That are, you know, attempting to recreate or, you know, bring that back. But again, as Jeff said, it's the bread and the gravy. Anyway, some of the other things that I thought was interesting from Joe Burrow yesterday was asked, what did you do during Hurricane Barry? That's how you spent this time.
Last week, I'm sure just about everybody here has. So I was telling somebody earlier, the hurricane, knocked my power out. Not my power, but my internet this weekend. And I watched a lot of YouTube videos on my phone about physics. So that's interesting for me, yeah.
What'd you learn about physics, Joe?
How long do you want to be here? So I watched a lot of videos about relativity, quantum mechanics, black holes, wormholes, white holes, electrons, neutrons, neutron stars. So all that stuff, all that good stuff.
Jordan, when was the last time you watched any video that had to do with quantum physics or anything of that nature?
Oh, last night.
You're a liar.
No.
Absolute liar.
Sometimes when you go into
a
YouTube
liar.
Binge...
You're a liar.
You go down the rabbit hole, which is how I found myself.
What?
Yeah, because
you go down the rabbit hole when you're on the YouTube.
Yeah, the YouTube rabbit hole. That's how you find the how to get into a locked car, sort of thing.
So you go from black holes, wormholes,
yes.
Time space continuum.
Anyone that's
how
ever
to break into a car. That's not even the same field.
Everyone that has binged YouTube,
no.
has been on a
Joey. Explain
weird
to
YouTube
me
video.
How I could be. Trying to unlock the mysteries of the universe, and that turns into unlocking someone's house or window.
Ask YouTube's data center. I don't know.
It depends on how many gigawatts you got.
I'm not buying it.
You're not buying
not
it.
Not buying it at all.
Or what if you said, okay,
from
car,
the
how
car
does
thief?
The car, yeah, how does the car from Back to the Future work, and then all of a sudden, the physics behind that says how to break into a car next.
Great,
the next
Scott.
Video.
Yeah, I'm not buying it.
Nope. Strictly hypothetically, merely.
Unreal.
Theoretically. You're making me sound like a villain on here.
No, I didn't say a villain, just a criminal. Something else that I thought was kind of, I mean, it's just being honest. Don't get mad at me. That's just reality.
I'm not a criminal. Far from it.
Again, you know certain things that I would even look at. Look up. How to break into a window without being detected. I mean, things like that. It's just really.
Never said that. Never said anything about breaking windows.
You kind of did, Jordan.
What are you pulling?
What am I pulling up? Do you even know what today is?
Yeah, it's the Apollo. Apollo moon landing.
No. Close.
So when they return?
7:32 a.m. when they return. That's it.
When you fought Rocky, yeah.
Today's
when he fought Rocky the first time, Apollo.
Just do me a favor. Saturday at 2:17, just give thanks. Just, you know. Saturday at 2:17 p.m. is when they landed. Today is when they took off.
Okay.
Oh, 11.
I was close.
15 seconds. Guidance is internal.
I got everything but 12, the launch.
11, 10, 9. Ignition sequence start. 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0. All engine running. We have a liftoff. Liftoff on Apollo 11.
This is so...
That's so
fake.
You know what? I'm not. Don't
look
even
at the CGI on
don't,
that.
Don't joke with me on that. That is one thing I will not tolerate.
Oh, it's
do
fake.
Not be that
in Arizona.
Guy. Not even in a funny way.
So
don't,
photoshopped.
Don't
video edited. I could have made that in my sleep.
NASA put out a press release this morning that said 400,000 people worked on the Apollo missions overall to develop all of that. And I'm just going to look at you and just say this. If it was remotely faked, like you and your idiot people of your generation think, do you realize the not one person has ever said that it's fake or leaked it? Not one. If it was fake, you know how many people would have to lie? People gave up their careers, lives,
at Area 51.
The amount of people that had to be involved. To make three people go there and come back safely. It's incredible.
But if
so
Jordan,
don't disrespect.
But if Jordan had been out there, this is what you'd have heard.
Houston, we have a problem.
Yeah. Well, the fact that they had a problem and came back. I'm a huge like space and aerospace buff. In the last week, you've seen all kind of really cool specials. History Channel, Discovery Channel,
Weather
you
Channel,
name it, have
they've
had
it.
No,
it's all
awesome.
Of them.
It's incredible. Just the footage, and there's a. I retweeted on mine, GCAT_17. There's actually a link where you can follow it real time, like it's happening right now, and you can listen to the recordings and everything. It's like everything. The entire mission has been uploaded, and you can listen to it. It's nice of you to yawn. That's good. So I'm glad you find it
no,
boring.
No, I'm talking about like
that's great.
I like the little rovers just roaming around on a
no, it's the, not it's,
on a
yeah, little,
barren
little Martian
planet.
just popped up right.
Yeah, I mean,
it's going for a ride right
just
now.
Basically,
hanging out.
Looking at a desert.
Wow.
Essentially,
it's good to know. No, do me a favor. Boy. Go to NASA.gov and go read over the. There's literally four pages of things that people use every day that was developed for that. Like technology, hearing aid, the batteries from it, fly-by-wire systems that airplane fly. That's one of the reasons why we need to do the Mars and exploration of that, because we're going to use those applications and technologies that they have to come up with every day. The computers and everything we're doing right now probably came from something that had to do with it.
What does NASA stand?
Came from Steve okay. Jobs.
Steve Jobs, that's it.
Here we go.
There you go.
You ready,
Jordan? No, but in all seriousness, I really do love just stuff having to do with outer space and
it's incredible. Like
okay.
I said,
it's awesome.
Yeah. So 50 years ago today, this morning, they're on their way. So.
What does NASA stand for, Jordan?
Oh boy,
National Association of Sports Announcers. Watch.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, sports announcers. There you go.
There you go, Jordan.
It is pretty cool. Check it out.
That is good though. Huh? Just have NASA
that
on
is,
your shirt.
That is really good.
National Association of Sports Announcers.
On that note, let's take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll talk a little sports, some of the other tidbits that are going on, some storylines. There's one thing that's, well, again, it's a lot of lists going on right now. Josh Hart now has a message.
Yes, he has a message for New Orleans.
We'll hear what he has to say here as well. Should a slogan that a school uses be allowed more or less from a school that you're pretty familiar with and LSU has to actually play this year out of conference? We'll talk about it coming up next on ESPN New Orleans. This is our life. This is our song.
At Indeed, we understand that when it comes to hiring, it's important to have a large talent pool to choose from. But sometimes too many good options can be overwhelming. That's why Indeed doesn't just give you access to a large pool of job seekers. We also offer screener tools that let you instantly narrow down your search. Hone in on hiring with Indeed. Experience Indeed for yourself today and get a free sponsored job upgrade on your first posting at Indeed.com/promo. Terms and conditions apply.
If you have frequent heartburn, take control of it with Prilosec OTC instead of stashing antacids everywhere, like in your junk drawer, buried under old batteries and hotel pens, or in your purse, hiding in the one pocket you won't check. You even have antacids on your nightstand, which are very hard to see in the dark. Ah, it's time you stopped stashing antacids and started taking Prilosec OTC. One pill a day, 24 hours, zero heartburn.
It's possible with Prilosec OTC. Uses directed for 14 days, not for immediate relief.
Baseball, golf, the pinnacle of playoff season. It's what makes this time of year so exciting. But to get out there and take in all the sports you love, you need to protect your engine. So choose Pennzoil Synthetic Motor Oil. It's the first synthetic motor oil made from natural gas, not crude oil. That's right, natural gas. It gives you unbeatable engine protection. So all you have to worry about is the score. The proof is in the Pennzoil, based on Sequence 4A wear test using SAE 5W30.
Got a hot take?
Everybody listen up.
Let's hear it. Call us at 800-998-1003.
Answer that phone.
Or tweet us at ESPN Radio NOLA. Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Listen, Tranquility Base here. The Eagle has landed.
You had to Google search it, not the dates and when it happened. I know it's Saturday, but yeah, 2:17. It's 3:17-ish.
I know the song.
Oh, you do? What is it?
It's Mr. Roboto by Styx.
It is, Joey. Congratulations.
It's a space song.
It is. So it was 2 o'clock. But yeah, took off this morning. 8:32 Eastern is when it launched. Mm-hmm. Launched at 39A. Josh Hart. Josh, I'll ask you, Joey, here in a quick second. Let's hear what Josh Hart had to say.
What's up, Pelicans fan? This is Josh Hart here. Very excited to get started with this opportunity in this amazing city and this amazing organization. Stay tuned, and thank you guys for all your support.
It is. So we've heard from Ball, from Hart. Who's next? Who will be the next one, you think?
Brandon Ingram.
You think it's Brandon Ingram?
I don't know. I don't know if he's...
Derek Favors, maybe?
Derek.
Yeah, probably Derek next. I agree with Joey.
Well, right now it kind of seems like the Beignet boys are going.
Yeah.
Ball took his pictures in the red jersey, Hart in the white jersey.
Should I get going, by the way?
Probably. Joey, how old were you when the Apollo mission happened?
10.
You were 10, so you actually remember it happening.
Yes, I watched it on a color television in black and white. Oh. Yeah, I was 10 years old, which makes me 60, and I remember them.
Yep.
The only one that showed up today was Mike Collins, though. He's the one that circled around the moon in the command module.
Buzz has been doing some. I think he was in California.
Handing out trick-or-treat candy on Big Bang Theory.
No, not Buzz Lightyear. Buzz Aldrin.
I know you're talking about.
Jesus.
I leave you with that.
Buzz, yes.
Infinity and beyond.
On that note, yes, he does leave you on it. Buzz Lightyear.
Buzz Lightyear. Oh, my. And Louis Armstrong.
Ladies and gentlemen, joining intern, exiting stage left.
And Louis Armstrong.
Oh, yeah,
Louis Armstrong planted the flag.
Louis Armstrong, Buzz Lightyear, and Phil Collins. with your three Apollo 11 astronauts.
That was the genesis of the whole thing. Yep. Go!
Oh, the entire way to the moon, they did the drum sequence. Doo-doom, 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 doo-doom.
I can feel it.
Brody Miller coming up bottom of the hour. This is where we are. I mean, this is where we are right now. There he is. He's waving to me, mocking me.
Who?
Buzz Lightyear.
Buzz Lightyear.
Phil Collins, Louis Armstrong. Strong. Let me tell you what, it would have been a heck of a trio. I mean, it honestly would.
Standing on the moon, you know? Singing What a Wonderful World, yeah. Looking at it.
I mean, Buzz came with his own spacesuit.
He did.
Laser and everything. I only know this because Carver loves him some Buzz Lightyear right now. So, oh, man. Chris says we're making him hungry, by the way. With the he's going hashtag team debris. I'm good. Matty Ice on Twitter. We're talking about toast now. We need football season to start ASAP. Buddy, I'm with you. I mean, look, you click a website, any website. They're breaking down which game is make or break of the NFL season. And grades for off-season in the NBA. We're trying, buddy. Matt's coming next Friday, I promise. Next Friday is when training camp begins. Mr. Bill, what you got, man?
Hey, how are y'all doing today?
Doing well, dude.
I kind of wanted to just mention something about free agency that I think would be really kind of interesting and cool.
Okay.
It seems like, you know, we've become the Ringling Brothers, Barnum and Bailey NBA free agency period now.
Mm-hmm.
Where it's literally like a circus. And wouldn't it be great? You know how they have Hard Knocks with football.
Right.
But, you know, that's just in the preseason and stuff. Couldn't we have like an NBA free agency reality show? And how great would that be?
Kind of surprised it hadn't been thought of. I mean, Boogie did his best to have that Showtime special. And you could follow, you know, his decision. And his comeback from the Achilles injury. I'll say this. You're not maybe that far off, Mr. Bill, in this aspect, that Adam Silver talked about it right after the start of free agency with all these players moving and everything. And there's a lot of discussion amongst the league of moving free agency to before the draft. So having it right after the finals and before the draft, which is the last Thursday of June. I think it'd be interesting. Like, I look at it, I mean, look at the NFL. You have free agency before the NFL draft. Imagine having the draft and in free agency. So I do think having free agency before the draft would be fun to sort of do. And look, in this day and age, it doesn't take a massive crew. It's not like you need NFL films or anything to follow. I mean, your mobile device can shoot pretty decent video. My phone shoots 4K, okay? And it's just an iPhone 8. So you could do that. You can get a small digital recorder. You have a team of one, two people maybe to do that. And you could easily come up with a little something that NBA TV could shoot. You could put it on social media, on at least the very least, the maybe the first hour of free agency, Mr. Bill, when the phone calls are made and decisions are being made to bring in and help out or to make a decision as to what team you want to go, you know?
Well, how cool would it have been to have a camera crew literally shadowing Kawhi Leonard during the whole right. free agency debacle that went on there? I mean, you know, him coming out of his house in a hoodie, getting into his limo, driving to the airport. and then him hanging up the Lakers for 4 or 5 days, which was so great. I had to laugh.
Yeah, no, look, I'm with you. I think it would be interesting.
That was the other thing I wanted to mention is, you know, Anthony Davis made the comment the other day that he would put, you know, the Lakers roster, I have to laugh, you know, up against anybody in the league. And so I went and I looked up some statistics because, you know, AD has been out when he was a Pelican a pretty fair amount. It was like a total of 51 games throughout his 7 years, but I think most of those misses were in the last few years. I guess you got to cross last year off. But still, he had significant time out. So I looked up like the rest of the, you know, those four guys on the roster. And amazingly enough, LeBron James is the only one that's ever played a complete season. And that was like several years back. So do these guys really think that Rajon Rondo is, what, 36? Boogie Cousins is coming off two injuries in a row now. I don't know when. He's never played a complete season. Rondo's never played a complete season. And Anthony Davis, I don't think, has ever played a complete season. Actually, LeBron James has got more playing time than all of these guys.
Yeah.
But he's 37 years old.
On paper, like AD says, he'd put up any roster against anybody. It does sound great. I mean, you know, these names. I mean, these names are recognizable and all that. But again, you didn't see how many teams, man. How many tweets did you see? How many times on ESPN did you see Brian Windhorst or Adrian Wojnarowski mention teams fighting for Rajon Rondo, teams fighting for DeMarcus Cousins? He signed for $3 million. You think DeMarcus Cousins wouldn't have signed for a team that would have given him more if it was out there? He signed with the Lakers because that's all he had. That's all they had, you know? So,
well, yeah, I mean, nobody wanted him.
No, and that's what I'm getting at. I mean, at the end of the day, when 29 other teams pass on a very healthy portion of that roster, how good really is it? And there's a lot of miles, a lot of injuries on some of those guys as well. It's a volatile situation. Look, we heard stories and, you know, once Cousins left and Rondo left last year, it wasn't hunky-dory, you know, with everybody. So,
yeah,
when you amp the pressure, when you amp the microscope or the magnifying glass over there, and that expectation now is win a championship this year, like you heard AD say yesterday, he's planning a parade. that first few game losing streak, or, you know, did you just yell at me on the sideline? I mean, like, you know, you just wonder how that's going to go. Like, again, in theory,
it's like, hey, I'm going to be in Space Jam 2. You can't yell at me.
Well, they fired the director. According to today, they went and got a new director. So
already?
Yeah. It's already, they did.
Well, you know, on that same point with the injuries, but conversely, mm-hmm. what Griffin did with the Pelicans, to me, that's going to add games to the season for everybody on the roster, keeping, mm-hmm. you know, even if they just play five more games healthy than they would have otherwise. I mean, that's still a pretty big deal. I mean, look how close the Western Division was last year. I think from teams 3 through 8, they weren't even separated by 5 games.
Right.
So, you know, you add 5 games to, you know, each of the players on your roster, that's a big deal.
Yeah, 100%.
And, you know, so.
Go ahead.
Mm-hmm. And then I just have one more quick thing. I didn't want to use up too much time. No, yesterday you were asking if somebody had a question for Coach Ogeron, you know, what would they ask?
Yeah.
And what I would ask is, I think it was 2 preseasons ago, he came out and said that when they had played Alabama last prior to that, that Lane Kiffin was still the offensive coordinator, and he handed Ogeron the scouting report Alabama had on LSU. And he said, they knew us better than we did. So he immediately went out and added to his support staff, his analytical staff, and I think he's continued to do that, if I'm not mistaken. And what I would ask him is, now that he's got the better part of 2 years of that, having that added information, that added support under his belt, does he feel like it has made and will continue to make a big mm-hmm. difference?
Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, you know, that's one of the reasons Alabama is where they are. You know, Nick Saban's got like 15 or 20 guys in the back room. They're all, you know, each one of them is analyzing a different team for when they come up to play them that year. So when, you know, the week comes around when they play.
The consultants and that whole new process now of college football, yeah, that's the thing. When you're getting ex-head coaches that have been head coaches in college football, or, you know, in O's case for LSU, John Robinson, a Hall of Fame coach. I mean, when you have those people just doing that, and that, you're right, that's what Bama does. They have a guy who focuses on Mississippi State all season. All he does is watch Mississippi State. So when that game comes up, that person is ready for it. I mean, they're studying them the entire season. I mean, that's an advantage. And that's why.
Heck yeah.
I always bring that up when it comes to, you know, how can you pay players and stuff like that. I'm like, look, certain universities have more money than others. I mean, most universities in the country can't afford that. You know, can't do that. So, but look, Clemson's had to step it up a lot. It's an arms race. If you want to compete at that level and do those things, you got to do it, Mr. Bill.
Well, you know, it's these colleges that all have a lot of money. And LSU, Georgia, Alabama, Clemson, from what I know about Texas A&M, they got a crap ton of money. And they're probably going to start spending it now that Jimbo Fisher is there.
Yeah.
So anyway, that was really all I had for today. I'd just like to say go Rim Reapers. And
God, it is Rim Reapers. I love it. It's a good one.
I love that name.
All right, Mike. Thank you.
All right, let's see where we are a year from now.
I hear you. I hear you. Thank all you, right. Mr. Bill. Let's talk a little bit more about this before you come back, Brody Miller. Now of The Athletic will join us, and we will talk to him about SEC Media Days. And really, again, you heard Coach O say the expectation level is a little different than they were a year ago, whereas now you're, having to deal with expectations. So we'll talk to Brody next on ESPN New Orleans.
My name is Tim Saunier. I'm running for sheriff at Terrebonne Parish. Our most precious resource for the security of Terrebonne Parish is our police officers. The office belongs to the people. I will always have an open door policy and open lines of communications with the people of Terrebonne Parish. I proudly served my country for 35 years, and I humbly ask you for the responsibility to continue and serve and lead our law enforcement officers into the future. Friend me on Facebook or visit my website, timsoniaforsheriff.com. Paid for by the Tim Saunier for Sheriff campaign.
The locally owned UPS store in Houma does much more than shipping. They offer a wide range of products and services to help and support small business owners and individuals. The UPS store in Houma offers packing, shipping boxes, large format printing, banners, shredding, faxing, and more. The UPS store is your one-stop store for business and more. Located on Martin Luther King Boulevard across from Chick-fil-A in Houma. Check them out on Facebook.
All right, it's time for some straight talk. You wouldn't pay $100 for seats to a baseball game where you can get the same seats for $50. So why pay more on your wireless when you can get the same 4G LTE networks for up to half the cost? For $45 a month, get our unlimited plan with 25 gigs of high-speed data from Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, only at Walmart.
Savings may vary. See terms and conditions at straighttalk.com.
Oh, big talker, ain't you?
A man that likes to talk.
Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill on ESPN 100.3 FM and ESPN 1003.com.
To infinity and beyond!
There it is. I bet you Brody Miller didn't know this.
I see trees of
Brody, LSU beat reporter for The Athletic. Brody, how are you this afternoon? What's going on?
I'm doing pretty well. On the road back from Hoover. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing fine. I've enjoyed this afternoon as our intern. I asked him about the three Apollo astronauts. Apollo 11 launched this morning 50 years ago. And Buzz Lightyear, not Buzz Aldrin, and Louis Armstrong apparently alongside Phil Collins. That's the three astronauts for Apollo 11. That's what I have to deal with my intern.
Hey, I mean, they're trying.
I hear you. Brody, you said you're coming back from Hoover, man. It's interesting. I played a little bit earlier from Coach O's remarks yesterday saying that it's different, right? Well, what a difference a year makes. A lot of negativity around the program as they entered Hoover a year ago. And a year later, how would you describe, is it hot, you know, elevated expectations? How would you describe the feeling and the mood going into Hoover yesterday for them?
No doubt there's elevated expectations. It definitely is interesting how much a difference the year makes. I mean, like you said, a year ago they were supposed to go 6-6, 7-5. Ed Ogeron was going to be fired. They didn't know who their quarterback would be. They didn't know who their running back would be. They didn't know what the offense was going to look like, and they didn't know who the starting cornerback was going to be. This was a team of unknowns, and it was a team that didn't have not much hope, but the expectations were not high. And now you're going into a year, and I was actually just talking to somebody else about the biggest difference to me it is from last year is that now the storylines are almost tired. You know, it's, we've been hearing the same thing for 6 months, and I mean that in a good way for LSU, is that it's not a team with many question marks really at all. There's some small positional ones, but nothing overt. And then there, it comes down to, you know, what the Joe Brady change in the offense is going to look like, which, make no mistake, is a big one. But it's a different year in terms of just almost everyone's back. Ed Ogeron's safe for now. It's just everything feels different. The expectations are way higher.
You know, it's crazy. Just a few differences that can really change those expectations. But I really honestly think it starts with a guy that yesterday seemed so comfortable in that spotlight, and it is a spotlight. Look, Joe Burrow, years from now, even now, I think, let's say LSU makes a run, maybe they win a national championship in the foreseeable future. Brody, am I out of my mind thinking that might be single-handedly the most important decision that Ed Ogeron ever made? In terms of this, it changed an attitude on the team almost immediately. He put the team almost on his back there. And to me, I thought last year's number one goal for that team was to play good enough to have those verbal commitments of your guys like Stingley and the running backs that are coming back and the other top, you know, recruits to become signatures. Like if they go out and go, like you say, 6-5 or something like that and look terrible in those games, then I don't know if all those commitments stay like that. You know what I'm getting at? But them playing well, beating Auburn, Georgia the way they did, being in the college football playoff rankings initially to start in the first one that they released, I think that solidified those commitments and helped build on the next recruiting class. And I honestly think it starts with him. Am I nuts?
Oh, I don't think that's even remotely nuts. I absolutely agree. I don't think they locked down all these guys if they don't have the year they had last year. And yeah, I don't think you get John Emery. You might still get Stingley. You probably still get Cardell, but a lot of the, you know, probably don't get Emery. You probably don't get a lot of these other, you know, top 100, top 150 guys. And like you said, if they don't get Joe Burrow, they probably go 6-6. Ed Ogeron is probably not the head coach at LSU right now. I mean, everything would be different. So I had really never thought of it in those terms. And when you first said it, it sounded kind of over the top, but it really isn't. I think there's a lot of truth to that. I think you added a good point that, like, his personality seemed like a really essential fit because even with him, it still wasn't a great offense, and he overcame a lot of it, and it's really good stuff. But what happened, I think, in my personal opinion, was even when it was average and the offense was kind of stalling and whatnot, he gave that really just cocky swagger, this kind of intense quarterback who's not afraid to fight for a few yards. And those are things you can't quite measure necessarily, but I think that gave at least the team a bit more of an identity. The defense was down to rally around him. You know, Devin White's not somebody who's going to rally around somebody if he doesn't actually like him. And Devin White was all in on this guy. I think you saw things like that. I do think that it ended up being a bizarrely perfect marriage, even if it kind of was not even the plan from the start.
And Brody, I think the other thing, too, is he brought confidence, you know? And you heard it right after that Miami game. I mean, first off, you win guys on the sideline by making plays. Let's be honest, right, Brody? When you make plays, people are going to respect you. And there he is checking at the line of scrimmage, making the right play for that big touchdown run to start the game, you know, in Dallas. And then after the game goes, look, all you people keep doubting us, we're coming for you. And people on the sideline are going, all right, let's get behind this guy and do that. And I think that's why I look at it that way, because he almost took some of that pressure, said, no problem, I got it. And whether it's in that Georgia game, making the tough plays, Auburn, you know, I mean, how long has it been, Brody, where on third down an LSU quarterback dropped the pass, you didn't hide your face, you know, with your fingers in front of your eyes because you didn't know what to expect because they're throwing the football. And instead, it's a completion and you're moving the chains. And then you look at the Arkansas game. The guy is taking a beating, doing whatever he can. I just, like I look at it, I'm like, man, that guy really did become almost the heart and soul to an extent. And then you see him yesterday and it's like, man, that's, it's like the Terrell Owens gif, you know, that's my quarterback.
Yeah, no, I think those are all really good points because it was an evolution, like you said. And it was, yeah. You know, the Miami game showed you how smart he could be. That the Auburn game was that moment that you showed he's clutch and he could make that clutch throw. And then, you know, I think a lot of people will tell you the Georgia game was really the one where he won the team over. I think that was, a lot of people will tell you that because, you know, he fought through. He scored those two touchdowns on the ground. His stats didn't look great, but he played a pretty great game. And he was the guy running on top of the bench, screaming to the crowd, you know, let's effing go. I think that was when he mentally won them over. And then those last four or five games of the year were when he became a genuinely good quarterback. So, yeah, it was a slow evolution of he got this, and then he earned our trust. And he did this, and he got a little more trust. And that final few weeks when the offense was able to pick a little more, he became that dual-threat guy. He's the guy who kept him in the A&M game, the guy who was a huge part of the UCF game. And all of a sudden, now you're going into the offseason saying, all right, I've seen a little bit of every part of what he can do, and now you have a football team that is going to be a top-10 team that is thinking college football playoff. And it was because of that slow evolution.
Came out today officially. Brody Miller now part of The Athletic. We spoke with Catherine Terrell a little bit earlier. Jeff Duncan now joining Larry Holder and also, of course, Deuce Windham and Will Guillory, who we talk Pels with all the time. So, again, congrats on that, Brody. But, you know, I keep talking about the quarterback because it's nuts. The SEC in the last couple of years, you better have a good quarterback, right? From Fromm to Tua to a couple of the other ones here as well. Felipe Franks, he was there yesterday. You got to have one that makes plays and it does that. When you look at going into the season and really in the West, I mean, you know, you got Kellen Mondew as well in A&M. You better have signal callers. The SEC all of a sudden went from a stretch where you didn't have a lot of top quarterbacks to, I mean, would you say a good, honest to goodness, half dozen really good QBs?
Oh, I think you could certainly say that. I mean, one of the two best quarterbacks in the country that a lot of people think should have won the Heisman is in this conference. And then, you got Joe Burrow, you got Fromm, you got Kelly Bryant, you got a lot of these guys that I'm forgetting off the top of my head, too. But absolutely, I firmly believe that. And I think I don't mean to plug my own thing, but it almost ties a little bit back to what I started kind of learning when I was reporting a story for Monday on LSU's national recruiting class. And this isn't about LSU, it's about the SEC. That one thing that really came up when I was talking to people about this was it's not that complicated. A lot of people in the California and the DMV, every one of them, more so than 10 years ago, realizes the SEC is by far the best conference right now. So where do I want to go? I want to go to the SEC. And so I don't know how much of it really is strategy and all these crazy things. I think these kids just want to be there now. And that obviously ties in with quarterbacks want to be there now. Mm-hmm. And there's other things that go into that. I think you started seeing for a long time it was a very defensive coach-oriented conference, and it still probably is. But you finally start seeing them kind of lax up a bit and say, all right, let's get this creative offensive coach. That's definitely part of it. You start seeing the Lane Kiffins and whatnot join the conference and really broaden it. But I really think it's just people want to play here more than ever, and that's a big reason why. Because it used to be the star quarterback wanted to play at USC. He wanted to play at Notre Dame. Those kind of quote-unquote quarterback factories, and I don't think that's the case anymore.
Brody, what are some of the other things that stood out to you yesterday? At Cushenberry there as well, and Delpit representing the Tigers, and anything else that Coach O said?
Yeah, it's tricky because that's one thing I've been getting asked a lot, and it almost goes back to what I was saying about the weird thing about this media day is how common everything we heard is because we're used to it for 6 months now. Mm-hmm. I think it's, you know, one thing that's kind of following, it's not a big thing, but I'm interested just in little things like, you know, Apueka, he's really talking about him as the starting nose tackle. Like, that's really interesting. It's coming. It's becoming clear that Michael Divinity, you know, is starting.
Seems like we're losing Brody there a little bit there, Joey. See if we can call him right back and just see if he finish his thought there as we're wrapping up the interview here in a quick sec. But, look, I think like he's saying there, it's almost like we're referencing when we're talking about the Saints. The talent's sort of there. You have a lot of players coming back from a season ago, yet the additions in the backfield with those young running backs, I think are going to maybe, you know, help it there as well and get them to maybe perhaps that next level. Again, you lose a guy like Devin White. It's going to be a defensive playmaker that steps in and make plays, although you did see last year a couple of times you did see some guys step in, make some plays on the defensive end, especially in that secondary. Could that be the part of the defense that does it? As we're wrapping up your thoughts there, Brody, before you're kind of cutting in and out, go ahead and continue. Really, you were saying that it's who's going to be starting in some of the position battles, but it's not really that many.
No, you're absolutely right. That that's kind of the funny thing about why I'm struggling about what jumped out, because so many things that came up were things that you discussed on your show plenty. Yeah, it's not many. It's, you know, it's Apuleka or Tyler Shelvin at nose tackle. It's, you know, who's the inside linebacker next to Michael Divinity? Is it Jacob Phillips or Patrick Queen? It sounds pretty clear it's going to be Derek Stingley at the other cornerback spot. You know, the other thing is, I guess it's always kind of ambiguous with how they use safeties, you know, because, you know, maybe they go with a three-safety look and it's Todd Harris back there with Stevens and Grant Delpit, or maybe it's just Delpit and Stevens, or maybe it's just Delpit and Harris. That's kind of ambiguous, but you kind of know those are the guys. Mm-hmm. I mean, the only real one left is what happens on the offensive line. Is it, you know, who gets the left guard spot? Is it Chasen Hines, or is it Adrian McGee, or is it a newcomer in Cardale Thomas? Then, you know, who gets the right tackle spot's really the last one left. It's, you know, if Ed Ingram's eligibility is starting to look a little less confident with all everything, so now it's pretty much going to be Traore or Deculus, and that's your biggest problem on this team. It's been this whole interview has been a lot of positives, but that offensive line is still definitely a question mark in my eyes.
It is, and at the end of the day, that's what Ed Ogeron says, the biggest difference between Alabama and a lot of the teams in the SEC West, much less LSU. It's the battle in the trenches, Brody. So I guess time will tell if that is still the big aspect of it. I looked at it yesterday, and a final thing we'll touch on, Brody, is where is the interesting part of the schedule that I sort of circle? And I think it's the three games and really that stretch leading into Bama, right? I mean, you got there, you know, Florida is still a team that I think is as much of a rival right now as any. So that's kind of that little stretch right before heading into Alabama, to me, that kind of stands out in October.
I was going to be my answer exactly as well. I'm not messing with you. I mean, yeah, I think Florida's probably the toughest game on the schedule if you ask me, next to Alabama. And you added not just Florida, a really good team this year. Who's the one coach who has just really beaten Dave Aranda consistently? It's Dan Mullen. Mississippi State, not going to be a great team this year, but in Starkville, that's not easy. And then Auburn, I'm not sure what I think of Auburn this year, but there's no scenario in which Auburn's an easy game. So I agree completely. Absolutely.
No, and it's nuts to say. I mean, it's almost like every year with certain coaches in any sport, pick one. Gus Malzahn is coaching for his job by that time. I mean, that's just what it is, right? I mean, he is. So he's got to produce as well, man. Brody, thanks as always, man. Just leave us with this, man. How excited are you about joining the folks over there at The Athletic?
Oh, I'm so excited. I mean, it's no secret how much I love working with Jeff Duncan, and used to love working with Larry Holder and Will Guillory, and I'm good friends with Kathy Terrell and Jennifer Armstrong. I'd run like Joe Burrow. I'd run through a brick wall for Jennifer Armstrong. So I'm so psyched for this team, and it's a place that's going to let us do some great stuff. So hopefully you guys enjoy what we do.
For sure, man. Thanks for giving us a little bit of time this afternoon. Be safe on your way back, and thanks for jumping on.
Anytime. Take care, guys.
Yep, Brody Miller, at Brody A. Miller is the way to follow over on Twitter. Final segment coming up next. Don't go anywhere. What now you can't do apparently in the Big 12, or we'll draw you a flag. What do you think of this? It's a little strange for me. I'll explain when we come back. The Tigers actually play this team that has something to do with it. So, Sports Hangover next on ESPN New Orleans.
My name is Big Mike Fazy, and I know tough times. I remember my mom counting pennies to buy a loaf of bread. Always promised myself to strive to do better for my children, and I have been blessed to do so. Now I want to strive to do better for our communities, from education to career opportunities, from coastal erosion to infrastructure. I know we can make better tomorrows because I've done it all my life. I ask for your support and your vote. Big Mike Fazy for State Senate.
Paid for by the campaign to elect Michael Fazy Sr.
Since the moment you were born, I've made 1,000 wishes. Wishes for your future. In a world that's changing fast. For all of the things you may one day do. Do play and laugh. Do win and lose. Do learn from your mistakes. And challenge yourself to grow. Do not be afraid. Or make decisions based in fear. Do it all with confidence and with kindness and strength. Do call your mom and ask her for advice. And always do your best to remember that no matter what you do in this life,
thank you.
What matters to me is that you keep doing. I love you always, Mom. Inspire kids to do at 4-H.org.
The hunt for October continues.
That's gone. That's a home run for Freddie Freeman.
The Braves took over first place in the NL East on June 11th and have been sitting there comfortably ever since. But it's the Nationals who have baseball's best record since Memorial Day and have their sights set on the Braves. Will they close the gap this weekend? Coverage begins Saturday at 6:45 Eastern and Sunday at 6 Eastern on ESPN Radio. Presented by Indeed.
Got a hot take?
I've got something to say.
Let's hear it. Call us at 800-998-1003 or tweet us at ESPN Radio NOLA.
I'm a communicator.
Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
It is astronaut Phil Collins, Buzz Lightyear. Who's the other one? Oh, Louis Armstrong. That's right, for Jordan the intern. Those are your three astronauts. Or Lance Armstrong. Nah, he's not. He cheated. Cheater, pumpkin eater. Yeah, Apollo 11 launched earlier this morning, 50 years ago, en route. And Saturday, 2:17, I'm a dork. Yes, I looked it up. 2:17 is when they landed on the moon, Central Time. 3:17 Eastern, so Saturday. All kinds of specials all this week, by the way, about the Apollo missions. Incredible stuff, man, especially the descent down there, the alarms, the fuel. I mean, it's nuts. Everything that it took, man, to get up there and back. So this story is interesting to me. LSU takes on Texas game two this season. We all know the hook'em sound, right? Index finger, pinky finger up. The other fingers meet with the thumb, the hook'em horns. So the last couple of years when you play Texas and haven't been very good, when they're scoring, opponents are doing the horns down. That's literally what's called. You do the hook 'em horns and you angle them down to the floor. That apparently now is a penalty. It was last year. The Big 12, horns down okay depending on usage. The Big 12 has a message for those thinking of making the horns down sign this season. Do it quickly and don't direct it towards an opposing player or you will be penalized. This is a joke. This is a joke. So I don't know this. I honestly don't. I'm admitting it. But if you do a gator chomp after you score a touchdown against Florida, that's a penalty? Now, I do know, like, taunting and things of that nature. I guess that's where this is going. Or is this one of those, the Big 12, hey, look, they have their own Longhorn network. Let's not disrespect their... come on, man. So if I score a touchdown and I do the horns down towards anybody against Texas, you're throwing a flag on me? Paul, what you got, man? Got about a minute.
Yeah, just every time I hear y'all talk about how Dan Mullen's an LSU killer, I'm looking at his record. He's only 3-7 against LSU. Mm-hmm. So I know he beat LSU a couple of times with Dak Prescott and most recently last year with Florida, but it's not like he's some coach killer, like LSU killer, you know what I mean? So I just wanted to see if I was correct in that assessment.
I want to say he has a few more wins than that, though, huh? Three doesn't seem like
I don't think so.
In front of me. Because he won the last year with Florida State, and if he won last year, that's two, and then with Prescott, it's three. So you're saying it's just those three?
Yeah, it's three wins. From what I Googled quickly.
Right. I got you. We'll talk a little bit more about that, Paul.
Know. All right, man. Appreciate it, brother. Thank you, man.
Yeah, man. Have a good day, man. Appreciate it. Am I the only one that finds that weird, though? Hook him down. Pff, can't do it. Penalty. Come on, man. Ugh. I mean, it's ridiculous. Joey, what's do y'all do anything with the Huskies? I need to know so I can tell, you know, the people of Tulane or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah, we blew it.
Oh, stop it. Stop it. It's not funny. You may not even have a football team soon. That's what I've been reading. Anyway, thanks for tuning us in. Thanks for everybody that jumped on the show today. Jake Madison, Catherine Terrell, Brody Miller. And join the intern is over there in 5 minutes. Matt Muscona on ESPN New Orleans.